The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Third week of June, things are not looking good. If you look at the top of headlines, you'll see a lot of stories about the continuing invasion of these formerly United States of America. Now, as most of you know, there are dozens, probably dozens, of small companies. Some of them are linked, some of them aren't, some of them are Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, it doesn't matter, independents. They're all involved in the business of alleged refugee resettlement. There's big money in it. Now, who are these refugees? We've seen them from many different countries, the Middle East certainly. They're being flown in here, apparently every day, under auspices of the UN Refugee Resettlement Program, a program that Donald Trump doesn't talk about. In fact, very few people talk about it. I hope you've all seen the video from the whistleblower who explained exactly what's going on. The Refugee Resettlement Program. These aren't refugees fleeing anything. They're actually people picked up off the streets, often with just the clothes on their back, and asked if they want to go to America. And they say yes, and they're put on a plane and flown right straight here. Usually late at night, they're put on buses, minivans, in cars, driven to various locations. Some are put on smaller airliners and flown to various locations.
They are almost invariably placed in American towns, cities, communities, with no notification whatsoever to the residents and the general population in the area. They're just being seeded all over the country. It sounds crazy. Well, it is crazy. And when you think about the latest wave of alleged refugees, they're not refugees, that are being brought in here, it becomes even crazier. They are, in many cases, black Africans from the Democratic Republic of Congo, from other neighboring black African countries. And some of you might say, well, what's he saying black Africans for? Because there are millions of white Africans, too. So we're being journalistically correct. They are being brought in here from these countries, and especially from the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the potentially biggest Ebola outbreak in history is now raging. We think it will be bigger than the 2014 outbreak in Liberia and Western Africa, because it is absolutely unable to be controlled, unable to be tracked. They can't do anything. It's now jumped across the border to Uganda. Officially, we reported that months ago, and it is out of control in Uganda. The Uganda Health Agency and the Ugandan health workers are complaining loudly. They're begging for medical supplies. They don't have anything. So you think they're going to stop this? Guess again. The number of Africans, black Africans, who have been brought to the U.S. and seeded in the country, many of them going to the gorgeous state of Maine, it's just enough to make you sick, are not only unvetted in terms of their background, their name, they don't even have names, some of them, formal names, but they're not checked in any way for their health status. Hi, how do you feel? Fine. Do you have a temperature? No. That's it. Are they being monitored for Ebola? No. That was admitted to by the U.S. government. There may be 1,000 or more officially now in the country. We think it's much higher than that. There was a story I ran yesterday. I re-ran it today. It's right up near the top of headlines, and it says, new illegal surge at the border. But now, black Africans from Democratic Republic of Congo and many are being sent to Maine. Now, in that story, New York Times, is this little excerpt, which I'm going to read, and then bring on Charlotte Iserbeet, who is one of the greatest Mainers in Maine's history. Here is what the story says. Just one excerpt. The mayor of Portland, that's Maine's biggest city, Ethan K. Strimling, said they welcomed African migrants, and a donation campaign for them had raised more than $20,000 in 36 hours. I don't consider it a crisis in the sense that it is going to be detrimental to our city, Mr. Strimling said. We're not building walls. We're not trying to stop people. In Maine, and Portland in particular, we've been built on the backs of immigrants for 200 years, and this is just the current wave that's arriving. Well, Mr. Strimling, wait till your residents come down with Ebola and start dying by the thousands. Let's see what you have to say then about this not going to be detrimental to our city. Meanwhile, San Antonio officials said they had sent about 150 of the roughly 300 African migrants to the city of Portland. The others traveled to Chicago, Dallas, Denver, New York City, and cities in Florida and Iowa. See what I mean? They are being seeded all over the country. Catholic Charities of San Antonio, one of the NGOs in the refugee resettlement business, spent about $125,000 on airfare, it claims, and bus tickets for African migrants in recent days, draining the funding it had planned on using to assist Central American migrants. Meanwhile, the $200,000 Portland Government Assistance Fund was already overextended by $90,000. Get the picture? Now, do remember that all of these people, no matter what color or religious orientation, that are being brought into this country are invaders. They're not welcome here. Oh, maybe officially by a few, because the agenda is to destroy this country. But they are being put on the taxpayers' backs for the rest of their lives. It's that simple. They get free everything while American citizens are living in their cars. As I said last week, over 400,000 community college students in California are living in cars or have been homeless in the last 2 years. And yet they get nothing but the back of the hand of this alleged representative government. With that, let's say hello to our dear friend, Charlotte Thompson Iserbeet, in the great state of Maine. How do you feel after hearing that? Pretty disgusted?
Well, I think you're really up on Maine better than I am, probably. I've been following, we've been following this refugee problem for a long time in Maine, and I think that we probably were one of the first. I remember when I lived in Bath, it was back in the 90s, they were sending the Somalis were coming in, and they came into Lewiston, and we had a really great mayor there who I haven't looked up, you know, all the history of this lately, but he complained. He said, "What are we doing? I mean, we've got Mainers who don't have any jobs. They, you know, they don't have salaries or whatever, and you know, we have to take care of our own people. You know, we pay taxes to take care of our own people." Well, this was a big deal back then, and they did. Lewiston did manage. This is how Portland got their share back then. Lewiston exported, you know, I don't know what percentage of the Somalis down to Portland, and then Portland started being the big shot as far as immigration of these, you know, illegal aliens. And so Maine, well, as you know, in Maine, they in quotes, they just get to do absolutely what they want, roughshod, regardless of whether Republicans are in or Democrats. I must say, the former governor LePage was concerned about this. He had a better understanding. But we're in major trouble, and you were quoting from our friend, remember, Ethan Strimling?
Oh, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, he is, about 4 years ago or so, he was elected mayor of Portland. At the same time, we have an appointed city manager. And they've been, you know, fighting one another. They really hate each other. But when it comes to this, they're in total agreement. The city manager is an interesting guy himself. He came from Indiana originally, and he worked in the Obama White House high up, and then he went over and worked in the Justice Department, I think. And then he went and worked for John Kerry. He was the campaign manager, I believe, in Massachusetts for Kerry's run against, they're all the same, Kerry and Bush, right? Both the order at Yale. So he managed the campaign for John Kerry. That tells you something about who he is. And then he ends up being the appointed city manager of Portland. We really know how to do it here. I mean, I suppose when nobody's watching anything, you know, you can do anything. And so what we've got are an elected mayor who is had the most ghastly record. He was in the Maine legislature. He was a Democrat. Probably, you know, the worst voting record in the Congress. I mean, in the Maine legislature, very far left. That's a compliment, really. I could call him something else. And
you want me to
then
do
we've
it?
Got
communist.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep. And then we've got the city manager Jennings. Now, let me point out here: both of them had the pleasure of listening to Sam's. You know, I would have popped you in the head if he hadn't moved. Right? They both heard that tape. In fact, Sam had several conversations with the mayor, Strimling, who's now, you know, welcoming, and so is Jennings. They're all welcoming these refugees coming in. He had a long conversation on the phone with Sam. He heard the tape. He knew all about it. The mayor, the city manager, when we played it for him, I was there. I saw him. I thought he was going to fall over his desk. You know, that tape, that wonderful tape that nobody wants to. In Maine, they're such gutless people here. I'm sorry. That's bad for me to say that.
We played it here at least twice.
They refuse.
Yeah.
They refuse to pass that audio around. These are good conservatives. They don't want anybody to know what's in that audio tape. You know, the patrolman saying if Sam had moved, they would have killed him, huh? And the police chief's listening in. Well, the police chief, your poor listeners are probably beginning to wonder if we've gone absolutely nuts here. The police chief, because he was so successful in two attempted murders of Sam, he gets appointed by our commie governor, Mills, who was the attorney general, oversaw the whole attempted murder, too. Murders, plural, sorry. He appoints the police chief to be his commissioner of public safety. That was a little plum the police chief got for his unsuccessful
plum.
Efforts to kill Sam. So I'm just giving people a little background on these wonderful elected officials and unelected too, like the city manager Jennings, who is John Kerry's friend, skull and bones ties, huh? So we have a real mess. And in the beginning,
we lost her. You are back. So you were just
I don't know what happened. I guess like what I said about Catholic charities.
As soon as you said Catholic, you're gone.
Boy. And I,
no,
by
I'm
the way,
kidding.
Folks, I'm a traditional Catholic. You know, so when you hear that coming out of my mouth, I'm not going against the traditional religion. I'm going against the Marxist Pope, okay?
Right.
Which
the
is
Marxist
what's
New World Order globalist Pope.
That's right. So the words are rolling off my tongue tonight for some reason. The more tired I am, the more the words roll. Anyway, what I'm trying to say, they came in from Somalia. Then they brought the West Africans that are coming in now. I mean, that came in about, 10 years ago. They are, I'm not kidding, they're good citizens. Sam got to know them. And they don't like the Somalis. And they'll tell you, you know, the ones that, I don't know what the ones coming in now from West Africa, from the Congo and all are like, but I would imagine they're preferable. But that doesn't mean I approve of this, because we do not have the money in Maine to even take care of our own people who are unemployed, on the street. You know, we've got a lot of problems and in Portland. Homeless. And so let's take care of our own, even the older people, you know, who aren't getting the proper treatment that they're supposed to get with government funding, main taxpayer funding, are not getting enough treatment, et cetera. So who comes first? That's what I say. Who comes first? Mainers who are on the rolls to get certain, you know, assistance, which is quite legal, you know, or these refugees that are coming in now. But, you know, I'm not an expert by any means. I don't want anybody to really repeat what I've said tonight, because I've been pretty occupied with a lot of other things recently. But this, but the major players, I can tell people who they are. Now, I hope they understand who our major players are. It's the mayor and the city manager. Now, the mayor is the one at the Heritage Foundation, or our wonderful Kami Heritage Foundation. I'd like to make a little point here. If you were running the intelligence services for the Soviet Union, I mean, excuse me, it collapsed, didn't it? Joke. But if you were running that, wouldn't you want to have a cell in every state?
Oh, yeah.
You know what a cell is? Your listeners know what a cell is. Well, the cell is the Heritage Foundation, which has a totally communist agenda. Now, we've been through that before. People who want to know about it, they can go to my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com, and just check on Heritage Foundation's communist agenda. So that's what we have. They have their luncheon, and you know it, because on Rents, you know, you can go to rents.com, and you can see, shut up and sit down. Right. So that was a luncheon where the guests, when Sam wanted to speak about the two attempted murders,
and the
mayor lied. The city manager wasn't there, but the mayor, the one you're talking about, the bad egg, right? He lied, and he said that he didn't know anything about that. I guess I must have forgotten. Huh? Well, that very mayor we're talking about.
Everybody lies now. If you're in politics, you lie.
He's the biggest liar.
Okay?
How could you have four conversations with a citizen and have the audio cassette and have just talk to that and then tell the audience at the Heritage Foundation London that you don't, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember. I don't seem to recall. Okay. Anyway, I'm mixing up Heritage, and because I always do. If anybody ever asked me what, look, the Democrats, we've always known they're leftist commies, right? We know that. They don't hide it.
Not anymore,
but nobody looks at the right wing. They don't look at Trump. They don't look at all the presidents we've had who signed the agreements with the Soviet Union. You don't find any Democrat presidents who signed agreements with the Soviet Union. It's just the Republicans. Get with it, folks.
It's very interesting. Let me just comment on that. Because we do. We're told, we're conditioned to always look left for communist affiliation, for communist influence, when in point of fact, it's spectrum-wide. Good point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's brilliant. As I said, if I were a communist, trying to infiltrate the United States and part of the intelligence apparatus, that's exactly what I'd do. You know, I wouldn't worry about the Democrats because everybody knows they're, you know, what they are. But I would definitely make sure that the Republicans look like, you know, Paul Revere's. I mean, they just love our Constitution, so, you know, representative form of government. They've given us the school to work agenda, which is totally unelected boards, and which is going to be the total system for our country. No more elected boards because of charter schools. Now, how often have I talked about that? Broken record, huh? So it wasn't the Democrats who came up with a charter school idea, was it? Okay, I was just talking about all these things, the merger with the Soviet Union. We just got the news about the senator from Michigan that I sent you. So what are they going to do? They're building this huge apparatus now. We've just got to consolidate everything, all right? In a speech on Tuesday, Senator Peters from Michigan plans to propose the creation of a new... Hey, folks, you like this? Can't get rid of the Department of Ed, can we? So what do? We just add another department of a new federal agency to chart a national industrial policy. You know what that means? That's everything Jeff and I have been talking about, everything else, school to work, which is communism, public-private partnerships, that's communism. Okay, we're going to have a national... is to chart a national industrial policy. What do you think that means? That
clever
is
wording.
The implementation of the Soviet system.
Right.
Lifelong. I'm not going to go into details on it because your listeners have heard me enough of me. From me
the
about
name
that.
Again, the new industrial...
A national... Okay, the creation of a new federal agency. That should be enough, regardless of what it's, even if it was going to be dealing with beetles. Do we need a new federal agency, another one, to chart, now get this, a national industrial policy? Now, what does that mean? You had to have school to work for that.
It sounds vaguely competent. It sounds okay on its face.
That's school choice charters with unelected boards for school to work. That's the only reason they ever had to put the charters in, because you don't have elected boards to say, I want my children to learn academics, not to be taught how to weld, huh, or whatever. Okay, so then it goes on to say, his inspiration for what he wants to call the National Institute of Manufacturing comes from, guess what, the National Institutes of Health. Oh, really? So we're meant to be happy? Anything to do with health? All right, then he goes on to say, Peter said he studied everything from the creation of the National Science Foundation, God help us, to the Department of Homeland Security. Then he says, quote, this will be an executive branch agency that will house our national manufacturing programs under one roof, end quote. He said, NIH does a great job of coordinating, that's the National Institute of Health, doesn't it, right? Does a great job of coordinating a strategic vision for healthcare. Something similar should exist in manufacturing. Hello? Hello?
It's unreal. It's unreal what's happening.
I mean, really?
Right.
Have we got, has the NIH done a great job of coordinating a strategic vision for healthcare? Ask any American, what are they doing now? We don't have, the whole system is broken. All right, Peter shared an early look at the draft of the keynote he plans to deliver tomorrow afternoon. Hey, folks, you can check on this. At a manufacturing summit being organized by a University of Michigan professor with the help of, guess what, federal grants. He's speaking between Senator Marco Rubio, Republican from Florida, who has also been devoting increasing attention lately to this issue.
Big.
These are nice live links. But you know what happened? I sent this out, and one of my buddies, you know, sent back, he said, Charlotte, I'm glad I copied this text, right? Because the Washington Post has taken it down. If you click on the link I sent, it says, "Oh, we're so sorry. We'll be back. We'll get this back." This was 5 hours ago. No,
yeah.
You can't get it. But I sent it to you, I think. Okay?
I got it.
You can put it up. Anyway, luckily I did cut and paste. Hmm? All right,
very
so
smart.
He's Marcio. I'm Rubio. Marco Rubio.
Marcio Rubio, that works.
Marcio Rubio, who has also been devoting increasing attention to this issue. And officials from the Pentagon and the Commerce Department. Okay. This is the meeting they're having tomorrow. Pentagon and Commerce Department involved, too. Well, that's nice. Get everybody under one roof. The Government Accountability Office tabulated in a 2017 report there are 58 programs that focus on manufacturing, but they're scattered across 11 federal agencies. Good. Leave them scattered. We're not meant to be a collectivist government. Peters argues that the government does not need to spend more money to foster innovation. Oh, did you ever hear such a thing as the government not spending more money? He said he believes the problems are inefficiency and insufficient attention from the most senior administration officials. Where are these senior administration officials? I thought that Trump was the only one in charge. Anyway, he would streamline, you know, your listeners really hate me because they now know I don't like Trump. Your listeners probably don't like him either. He would streamline all these initiatives and put them under one umbrella. Have you heard that one before?
Yep.
Okay. If you study these those programs, they're kind of buried in the bureaucracy of all these different agencies. He said, "Well, leave them buried." I say, Charlotte said, "Leave them buried."
Bureaucratic sleight of hand.
Oh yeah. Quote: "They probably were just added on over the course of years. It was like, oh, we should probably do something on manufacturing." Oh no, they weren't. Look, they were doing plenty on this. They were planning ever since the Chamber of Commerce in 1945 came out in favor of school choice and vouchers and workforce. Come on, the Chamber of Commerce is so rotten. All right, so this is something new, right? So we should probably do something on manufacturing. Let's create this specific program. I've heard that one before. Okay, but there was no broad, comprehensive thought that went into it. Now's the time to coordinate all that, end quote. In the same vein as NIH, that's our illustrious National Institute of Health, which horrible things come out of, which established institutes to combat diseases like cancer and HIV/AIDS, Peters said the National Institute of Manufacturing would have directorates to focus on technology development, industrial commons, education, and the workforce. Small and medium manufacturers and trade. Peters emphasized that most research and development would still be funded by business. Isn't that nice? This is the public-private partnership, huh?
NIH, I'm feeling better every moment. Keep it up.
Oh, I bet you are. I thought you'd read this. I thought you read everything, but you're just too busy tonight. The NIH picks up those areas where the private sector, the pharmaceutical companies, might not be investing in research, he said. We're not doing that in manufacturing. Too bad, huh? Peters said the existing efforts are by and large good, but they're too siloed. Quote, unfortunately, these programs
siloed.
Do not always work.
Siloed.
Siloed,
interesting,
that's a new
word. Yeah, yeah.
I know. I'm going to look that up in the dictionary. Unfortunately, these programs do not always work in concert with each other, he said. In some cases, there are layers and layers of bureaucracy that prevent an idea from seeing the light of day. Hooray! That's good. Let's keep them from seeing the light of day. We cannot let bureaucracy and disjointed programs stifle innovation, end quote. Okay, the senator wants to create a new role for a manufacturing czar. Well, we have the education czar, didn't we, huh? Well, I love these czars. They even call them czars.
Isn't it funny?
He says it.
In our face. First, they pulled out the word homeland, and now they're using czars again.
They used
them before.
I'll never forget Homeland when I first heard it. I thought, Adolf Hitler. That really scared me to death. Manufacturing czar.
Joe Stalin and communism ought to scare you 10 times more.
Oh, it does. The senator wants to create a new role for a manufacturing czar who could report directly to the president. Well, the president, he doesn't listen anyway. So, I mean, it's sort of stupid. Do they
You're
expect
saying
him
now
to get reelected?
The advisor to the European Union defense secretary said that Donald Trump is not in charge of the U.S.-Iran policy and doesn't even know what's happening.
Of course he's not.
What
you know
shock.
Who is. We know who's in charge of it, right? Yep. This person would be called, oh, this is interesting, a new role for a manufacturing czar. This person would be called the chief manufacturing officer of the United States. Isn't that nice? Quote, it's important to put
someone in charge.
Why don't
they just say commissar instead of officer?
I don't know, but they did say czar, commie czar.
I think they're going to bring commissar back, too.
Right.
We've
got a commissar here in Maine now, the Portland police chief, who was involved in Sam's two murders. Okay, quote, you know what? It's really nice to be my age because I don't care if they come and shoot me. Quote, it's important to put someone in charge. End quote, said Peters. Quote, you cannot have someone who
That's
has to wear
20 statement.
Different
That's a profound statement. I'm going to write that down. It's important to put someone in charge. Very good. Very good. I like that.
Said Peters. No wonder the Washington Post took this down. They don't want anybody to read it. I'm so glad I copied and pasted it. Quote, you cannot have someone who has to wear 20 different hats. If you're wearing 20 different hats, some of those hats aren't going to get the kind of attention that they deserve. Oh, and that's why we want to put all of this into one umbrella organization, end quote. This isn't some academic debate. This issue will probably be front and center in the 2020 campaign. Politicians have been talking about the need to do something for manufacturing for decades. President Trump breached the so-called blue wall in 2016 by appealing to working-class whites in places like Macomb County, Michigan. I think that guy's from, you know, he's from Michigan. This guy was proposing it, this whatever he is, Senator. He promised to bring back their manufacturing jobs. Oh, that's how they're going to get people on board, right, that have moved overseas. Even though the economy is essentially full of employment, the president's record on this metric is much more mixed. Now, that's you've got that on tape now, at least. You allowed me to read it, didn't you? Thank you.
You were
because you're
more
not
going
to be able to. It's gone bye-bye. On the internet,
it's gone. You know, you used another word that they'd like to use now. Metric. A metric.
Oh, metrics, yes, that's right.
You know, metric, we don't even use metric here in the U.S. That's the funny part. And yet they use it for
a
political
hard time
term.
Because Americans really, that's one thing that they didn't like, was having to move to the metrics.
They wanted their inches. Yeah.
I just wish Americans would be as good in opposition to other important things as they were in. And evidently, they really didn't want to do metrics.
Oh, they fought that. No, that was one of the last great battles in the American patriot community put up. We want our inches, feet, and yards. That's it. We're not going to switch.
That's right. Well, isn't that a shame that that was the one victory we had?
Yeah. Inches.
All right, that's time for you to
talk. The game of inches. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you can talk now.
Oh, no, I have nothing to say. I'm just listening. I'm learning. This is fun. I will say this. The idea, and I did get that other story from you. Thank you. Let me find it here. I just sent it over to be posted.
What other story?
The one you sent me about Portland.
The immigrants.
Maine
oh, yeah,
officials.
I just sent you one.
Yeah.
That's the latest.
Yeah.
That's the latest. That's hot off the
Portland.
They're having a meeting.
Portland
tonight
struggles to house African to house African migrants, many from the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ebola Central, as councilors discuss aid. Look, somebody wants Ebola here. I have no doubt, none. They're bringing these people. They should immediately quarantine and embargo anyone from DRC or now Uganda. But there's no common sense health protocol involved in any of this. And you have to think that somebody wants Ebola here. You have to. Trump isn't talking about it. If he doesn't know, he damn well should. Some people do.
Once it happens, it's going to be pretty hard to stop. And
they won't stop it. It's not going to happen. They won't be able to stop it here. It's going to rage through these communities of so-called migrants and others. Then it'll start taking... I can only hope that it does affect some of the elite in our politics, so maybe they'll think twice in the future about allowing this to happen. They're allowing it to happen. Go ahead. We lost her again. Doggone it. All right, hang up, Charlotte. Todd, if you can, we'll get her back. All right, we're going to call her right back. That story I'm going to put up, it'll be up, I hope, soon. The Chinese launched an ion rocket. This is a very advanced rocket propulsion technology. An ion rocket. That's what my sources tell me from inside China. This is not known by anybody. This is a real exclusive. And the rocket went up, and the engines melted, and the rocket disintegrated, and it spewed radiation and radioactive debris over maybe as much as a 2,000-mile distance, with large pieces of the radioactive rocket coming down in the North Korean-Chinese border area. Huh? All right. There's a big story for you to watch. It'll be up at the top of headlines. I don't know when, but I submitted it to the webmaster. All right. Let's try and keep you on the phone.
Yeah, we got caught off again.
Wait, did you? You didn't do anything different. You're just talking, and it just went away.
But I was talking about something you didn't like, which said that the real estate market's going to go down. Who's going to want to live in Portland? And it's always been a...
Like, who wants to live in Minneapolis?
Yeah, exactly.
There's 200,000 Somalis there now. Come on.
Right. Are you kidding?
That's the word. It was 150,000 2 years ago. I say it's probably 200 now. He never gets straight figures anyway.
I didn't know that anybody had more Somalis than we do. But Sam, I want to point something out
guess.
Here. You know, the difference between West Africans, I'm being, whatever you call it, racist right now. I'm being racist about the race, about the different races in Africa, right? Anyway, the Somalis... I'm sorry, anybody listening out there who's Somali.
Don't apologize. It's okay if people are different races. They're different races. It's part of journalism.
Yeah,
who, what, where, why, when, how, right?
And they have a very, entitled. They're not, they don't smile.
They're arrogant. They demand to be taken care of. Yes.
But the Congolese are very nice. They're totally different. And they don't get along. So we may well end up with a race war.
Race war between the West African ethnicities and the Congolese and the Ugandans. Yeah, good point.
Nobody could detest the Somalis more than the Congolese do. Sam got to know the Congolese pretty well. They're really good. They work hard. And, they're really contributing something to the community. I'm not saying the ones coming in are, but I know that, generally speaking, they're preferable, whatever that means.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. So after 10 years, a reasonable portion of them, after 10 years, have gotten off the dole and are actually working and contributing. Good.
They are. And they're pleasant. They're very grateful for them,
Well, they damn well ought to be. They died and went to heaven, that's for sure.
Yeah, they did, because they have been going through hell ever since we did what we allowed, when Belgium stupidly pulled out. All hell broke loose.
Decolonization of Africa was its demise.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Something's being planned here, Charlotte. And I think it's going to end up eradicating an awful lot of the indigenous peoples in Africa, like HIV was supposed to do. HIV was a man-made organism. All right, something's going to happen. Why do I say that? Because if you do a search for China ghost city in Angola, go look. See what the Chinese have built there. One of those enormous high-rise cities, and there's no one living in it. Who's going to live in it? I can guarantee you it's not going to be Africans.
No.
So the Chinese are putting these cities down as a preparatory step to taking over the African continent.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, they really are. I mean, but not just Africa. I mean, I was shocked when I saw that in
South
Milan
America?
And Rome, they have Chinese policing the streets in Italy.
Know.
What?
What about these FTZs here, the free trade zones that the Chinese and others have? They're actually autonomous. They do not answer to the laws of the U.S. They have their own laws, and they're little foreign countries, mini countries, FTZs, free trade zones in the U.S. Crazy.
I know.
Crazy.
You know, just when we thought it couldn't get any worse.
Oh, it's going to get worse. Oh.
It does get worse, you know. I wonder what President Trump is going to have to say about this new czar. Is he going to appoint the czar?
You know, he'll be told what to do. Come on. See, the guy lays in his pajamas, talks to Sean Hannity every night about and figures out what kind of tweets he's going to launch for the morning news cycle. And he drinks 12 Diet Cokes a day or more, eats nothing but junk food.
His IQ couldn't leave. Hey, listen, did you watch that thing on Melania?
I heard
CNN had it?
Yeah, I heard it was, somebody said it was pretty good. I don't know.
Well, it was. And you know what she said?
What?
Where's she from, Slovenia or something?
Yeah.
She said that her father was a member of the Communist Party.
Huh.
So, look, we're looking at the wife of the president. I'm not accusing her of anything, but it's rather interesting. How did we ever end up with the president of the United States' wife grew up in a communist country and went through the communist education system?
Well, might as well be
Angela
Merkel.
Is a member of the Communist Party. What?
Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel. Same profile. That's it. That's very interesting. I don't think Melania is politically motivated much about. She's got her little pet cause, which is the faux opium crisis in this country.
The opioid
epidemic.
She's also all involved with the little children in kindergarten and first grade. A lot of pictures there, and all the kids had on red shirts.
Oh, no.
In the kindergarten where she works.
No, really?
She does volunteer work with the first kindergarten first graders, and
they all
have
on red shirts. What is this, the Young Pioneers? What are we talking about?
Yeah, I think you better go watch that. CNN is running it over and over.
Well, they lost one-third of their nightly prime time, so I guess they might as well.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I don't know.
They're all had red shirts.
That's a very interesting. I think they're being pretty dirty to Trump. I have to say that. You know, they obviously put this thing, they crafted it to make it puts out a pretty negative picture of Trump and how she's a riot. She really, I don't think she likes him much. You should see when he tries to hold her hand, she grabs it away from him and shakes it.
Oh, I've seen that several times.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
She's thoroughly disgusted with him, obviously.
I know, but this is a very strange. Am I wrong that it's a little weird to have somebody from a communist country who went to school and
no,
whose father is a member of the Communist Party who's married to the President of the United States?
It's strange.
I think so. Have you forgotten, Jeff, that what we used to? I mean, look, nobody comments on that.
Where's Joe McCarthy when we need him, huh?
Oh, well, I wish he'd be resurrected, but you know, I don't think it would be fair to bring him back to this mess.
He wouldn't. He wouldn't want to deal with it. He would say, "No, I want out of here. I'm going back."
He was so right. You know, even the. After the wall went down, even the Soviet intelligence agents said that he was absolutely on target about everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bezmenov?
Yeah.
I think it was Yuri
Bezmenov.
They all
said that McCarthy was, he knew exactly what he was talking about.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Of course he did. They, look,
but
all you got to do is go back to the FDR administration and start counting communists.
Oh,
Harry
boy,
Hopkins.
How many were
Come
there
on,
in that administration? The State Department
was
loaded.
They were doing
John
the same
Stewart
thing
service,
in the
yep.
30s here that they did yep. in Germany in the early 30s, flooding
Absolutely.
The country with communist operatives. Same thing.
Well, don't we have something nice to talk about? How are you?
I'm just like riding a bucking bronco. It's crazy. It's going to get worse. When you see, and Trump today, the big story was, he's firing his pollsters, or his administration is firing several of them. I think there are five. He's firing three because there was a leak, and the actual polling looks terrible for Trump. Creepy Joe pervert Biden is beating him by 10 points in three swing states, according to Trump's own pollsters.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Trump is not happy, and this yeah. is a prelude to Biden's going to wash out. He's not going to make it. And Hillary, yeah. I'm telling you, is coming back. She will come back to save the day in terms of the Democrat Party.
Well, I saw something about that.
You did?
Today.
Send it to me. I've been saying this for over 2 years.
Well, I don't know where I saw it, or I heard it, that Hillary is going to be running again.
That's right. She will not say she's not running, and that's been a hallmark for 2.5 years. She is going to run. This is going to, and the media is going to love it. They're going to get rid of Biden. They're going to flush his pedophile self
well,
down the toilet.
Well, you know what? She could
it's
have
going to be the,
Bernie
about
Sanders
it,
could be vice president.
No. Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, no. You know,
oh,
yeah,
yes.
I mean, no.
CFR, homosexual, Pete Slick. Boy, is he good on the TV. You watch. It's going
he's
to be Hillary.
He's disgusting.
Hey, he's also in the top five in terms of polling right now. Watch, though. Hillary will be picked up and given 4 or 5 major newspaper endorsements that'll throw up their hands and say, we can't live with Biden. He's going to take the party into history.
Right.
It'll be oblivion. Goodbye. What can we do? We go to the woman who beat Donald Trump by 3 million votes 2.5
right.
years ago, and they will embrace her just like they did with John McCain 12 years ago now,
yeah,
when he came from
right.
last in the pack to first in the field in 10 days on the basis of 3 newspaper endorsements and the mainstream media doing what it was told. This is going to be like boxing. It's going to be the revenge match of the century, and the media will eat it up.
You said it. You really beautifully said. You know, I think that often there's one piece of the puzzle that we keep quoting, and nobody gets it through their head. And it was Carol Quigley, you know, Tragedy and Hope, the council, you know, the historian for the Council on Foreign Relations, in his big book, Tragedy and Hope. He told us exactly how it worked. And he said on page 1200 or something, he said, the industrialists got together in the late 1800s, you know, they're smoking their cigars and whatever, drinking their cognac. And they decided that in order to basically get world government, they would have to control both parties at the top.
Yep.
And that meant that when Charlotte is interpreting this, but you will too if you read the quote direct. You can just look it up. Carol Quigley, both parties the same at the top. And you'll see there exactly, he says, so when we peons go to the polls and we vote, we'll think we're getting what we want. But we're getting, no matter who we vote for, who they want.
Not an election, it's a selection.
And he got, I mean, he hit the nail square.
He was right.
On the
of course
head.
He did. Well, he knew. He knew. He was in. He was there.
He was one of them. And that's a great book. I mean, I have an original copy of Tragedy and Hope. It's worth $3,000 now. And, but Quigley was very important. In fact, he was so important that Clinton talked about him at his inaugural address. Remember, he said, Clinton's professor.
Right.
He's close
that.
To
yes.
Quigley. And but Quigley told the truth, and he also did say he was in favor of global government, but he said he felt it shouldn't be kept a secret from the American people. Well, it was kept, wasn't a secret. I mean, not you and I, because we're sort of, you know, moles. You know, we dig, but most people don't understand that. They're both parties.
Yes. No. Yep. We understand, and many of our listeners understand. Tragedy and hope, it's a remarkable inside look at the mechanism. It's there.
Oh, yeah. I have to admit, I've never read the whole book. It's what, 1,500?
It's a big book.
It's so long, so big. But you know how Charlotte is. She goes to the index, and she finds what she wants.
But boy, does she, you know, and she reaches over and grabs another piece of toffee and
How are you doing with it?
It's gone.
Is it all gone?
Are you kidding? Oh, God, I just, it, little piece, and then, well, I'll just have another little piece.
I know, you walk down the hallway, and it's melting in your mouth, and then you think, oh, I want to go back in the fridge and get more of
That's
that.
That's funny. It's true.
Yeah, you know, it's really good. But anyway, my goodness, you know, we're almost out of time. I'm really glad because I want to go to bed.
All right, go to bed. We're out of time.
Yeah, I want to.
All right, good. Yeah. You sleep
well
tonight.
What are you going to say? How are you going to say goodbye to your guests?
You?
I mean, not your guests. Well, you, I know how you say goodbye to me, but to your listeners.
Why should I say goodbye to my listeners?
Because
I have two more hours to do.
Aren't you going to get off radio?
I have two more hours to do.
Oh, okay.
And I start, next Monday, I start my 26th year on this program.
Oh, well, you know what? I feel sorry for you. I really do. You know I do.
I know.
I don't know what to do about it because you won't come visit here, and you could have a vacation, and you could visit Portland, and I would introduce you to the mayor and the city manager.
Oh, really? Well, that's reason enough to come back there. Come on. Go to bed, Charlotte.
Yeah, I
wonderful,
am. Good night,
wonderful
everybody.
Wonderful hour. Good night, dear.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You sleep well. One and only, Charlotte Israel. She's timeless. We'll be right back. Hang on.